Diane Blanco with East Texas Talk. Here you'll find things to do, news you can use for yourself and your family, and hopefully something that will put a smile on your face. Today, my guest is Debbie Olson. Debbie Olson is a licensed professional counselor, a former RN, and also the author of a brand new exciting book, The Healing Power of Girlfriends. Welcome, Debbie.
Thank you so much, Diane. It's wonderful to be here with you. Thank you for the invitation.
Well, I'm delighted to have you here. Debbie and I go way back to Lone Star College, where she was an instructor of psychology. And I'm so pleased with her career path because she's just done wonderful things professionally. And today we're going to talk about some of her different activities. Debbie, I know that you're an active LPC now. Can you tell us a little bit about what your path to this particular profession, because I know you started your life as an RN.
Exactly. So the path was I became an RN and worked in OBGYN, and that included postpartum, labor and delivery, normal newborn nursery, special care nursery, and the high-risk OB floor. So I did a lot of one-on-one with young moms before and after giving birth. I really enjoyed that, and if I returned to nursing tomorrow, it would be right back at the bedside in OB. I loved it. So I worked in OB for many years and then decided to stay home and have my own children, and my nest filled up really quickly. We had 4 babies in 7 years, so it was a full nest. And then when my youngest was about 2, I really missed a profession. I really missed the stimulation and intellectual part of life that a profession gives you. So I decided I was either going to return to nursing or go into something a little bit different. And after checking into different programs, I decided I really wanted to try psychology. That had always been an interest for me. And we were living in Milwaukee, Wisconsin at the time, so I applied and got into Marquette University and started working on a degree in psychology at Marquette. Before I could finish that, we moved to Texas. So in 1992, we packed up our 4 babies and we moved to Houston, and it was a wonderful move, and we're so glad we did that. We've loved our life here. But I did not finish my degree at Marquette, so had to transfer here, and I actually needed some Texas core classes. So since we lived in Kingwood at the time, I decided to go to Kingwood College, and I got all my core out of the way there. I loved my experience at Kingwood College. The professors were outstanding. And then I transferred to the University of St. Thomas in downtown Houston, and that's where I finished my bachelor's degree in 1997, and that was in psychology, of course. I took a year off to take a deep breath. My oldest daughter was in high school at Kingwood High School, and I decided, oh, I just need some time to be a mom and enjoy her last year at home. So I took a year off. The following year, I decided to enter grad school. I applied to several programs and got into a couple different ones. The one I chose is at Sam Houston State University, a clinical psychology master's program. And I drove every day from Kingwood to Huntsville for 3.5 years to get my master's in clinical psych. So I finished that in 2001, and then I started a practice in Kingwood and have been in practice in Kingwood for many, many years, and then moved my practice to the Galleria area in 2014. So my practice now is in the Galleria area off of San Felipe, and it's called Galleria Counseling.
Can you tell us a little bit more? I know that you have a very unique specialty, and I think it's very impressive. Can you tell us about your specialty?
Absolutely, Diane. So I am called a women's emotional health specialist. And what that means is I have received additional and advanced certification and training in women's emotional health specifically. So I have advanced training in postpartum depression, anxiety, all kinds of issues that have to do with women's hormones and different transitional life events for women. So I have this advanced training, and I specialize in primarily working with women. I do a little bit of marriage counseling as well, but my primary focus in my practice is working with women. I've run support groups for many years where women come and spend time in group therapy with other women to work through their issues. And then I do a lot of individual therapy as well. So I've enjoyed really very much over the course of the last decade plus working primarily with women.
Well, we're glad that you're doing that, and it looks like maybe from your practice, the idea for your book must have been born, because I know there's some wonderful research in there. Can you tell our listeners about it?
Absolutely. One of the questions that I get a lot as I've been out on my book tours, they want to know, where did the idea of the healing power of girlfriends come from? And what were the catalysts that put that into motion? And really, there were two key events to really putting this book out there and getting it into your hands today. The first event was I did a seminar in Galveston, Texas, which I do these from time to time. They're weekend retreats for women to come away, separate from all of their responsibilities, and get away and take care of themselves and nurture themselves. So we've done them at the San Luis Resort and Spa in Galveston. And I did one in 2015 that I called The Healing Power of Girlfriends. And I had done all my research prior to this wonderful weekend seminar. I'd put together a packet of materials for each person, and it included all kinds of research and what the research was telling us about friendships between women. I also did a lot of my own original designing of my friendship framework, which is in the book, and it talks about the different levels of friendships and how we move between those levels. And then a lot of other things that I came up with that were my own original documents. And I put all those diagrams and all that material into a folder, and each person came to the seminar and got their own folder, and we went through all of that through the weekend. At the end of the weekend on Sunday, one by one, they came up to me, each of these ladies, and we had over 30, and they came to me and they said things like, this was life-changing this weekend. We now look at friendships so much differently than we ever had before. We learned so much, and you've shed light on so many different pieces of female friendship that we had never even contemplated before. So thank you for doing that. Thank you for this weekend. Most importantly, please think about putting all of this in a book so that everybody out there can benefit from all of this wonderful material. So that was the first piece. The second piece came a few months later when my husband and I were in Playa del Carmen on a beach with another couple that are lifelong friends of ours. And we're talking and we're having a great time as couples. And the lady that I was with, her name is Kathy, and she's in the book. Kathy is a dear, dear friend of mine who I met in Milwaukee when we moved there in 1981. And we've been friends through the decades since then. We've never lived in the same town. When I moved to Texas in 92, that was what could have been the termination or the ending of a friendship, since I was going to be so far away from her, but that did not happen. Instead, we actually got closer, even though the distance was between us, and we did that because we made a commitment to each other and to the friendship that no matter the distance or the time or raising busy families, we were going to stay connected, and we did. So as we're chatting on the beach, her husband looks at both of us, and he's kind of laughing, and he goes, you guys just pick up where you left off the last time you were together. And that's what women do. And we were laughing about it. And then he says to us, you should think about your friendship and how you have a recipe there for success. You might want to share that with other women. And then he says to me, have you ever thought about putting that all in a book? Have you thought about writing a book about this? Because you guys have something. It's very special. Right. Not all people are able to navigate through friendship waters separated by all these states and these miles and years and keep that friendship alive and intimate. So I thought about what he said, and I really gave it a lot of consideration and time, and I decided that he was right. We needed to have this in a book. And then when those ladies shared at the end of the seminar weekend, this needs to be in a book, I thought, I need to get on this. So I started an outline a few months later, and the outline developed into my first manuscript of the book.
Well, it all makes sense, because I think women have a bonding that especially women who have shared friendships in different stages of their life, having children together, whether you're the soccer moms, whatever, you have that connection. And sometimes it's very hard to keep that connection because life puts other things in your way. And so I think that's one of the things that your book has some wonderful ideas about how to maintain those bonds that you have. Maybe you could share a little bit about that.
Yes. So the book does talk about a lot of the challenges in friendships and how that we are sometimes really busy raising small children, and the last thing we do is give time in our schedules to our girlfriends because all this other is on our plate. And so the first thing that when life gets tough or somebody gets sick or something goes wrong, the first thing we do is cancel the girlfriend lunch. Actually, what the research is now telling us is that's the one thing we should not be canceling.
Right.
Because a couple years ago, they came out with some really powerful studies from prestigious institutions around the United States. And what they're telling us is the research is now very clear and it's robust. And it's telling us that we women live our happiest, our healthiest, and now most importantly, our longest lives when we stay in regular connection with our girlfriends. It does something chemically to our brains, which equates with also changing our stress levels. It lowers our cortisol levels when we're stressed, and all of that has a positive effect on our coronary arteries. So it's all very documented. It's really wonderful stuff that's coming out of these prestigious institutions, and it makes you stop and evaluate your friendships a little bit differently, that we need to really put those up there with exercise, eating healthy, going to the doctor, staying on our medicines, all the things we do for ourselves anyway because we want to live our healthiest, longest lives. Now we need to put also on that same list spending quality, regular time with our girlfriends.
It's so close to something I just read. It was a study that was comparing the death rates for people who had alcoholism, who had obesity, and the group that lived the longest were the group that had strong social connections. And I think I know you probably know that I do girlfriend travel, and every year I take a group of women pretty much to Europe or some other fun place, and that is such a special experience. We have people who have been on the trip 5 or 6 times and keep coming back.
Because
I always say that once you get on our coach, there's no one who's going to tell you to sit down, stop talking, or don't buy that or don't eat that. Women, we support each other. We encourage each other. And it's too bad that men can't have that kind of connection, because I think, number one, I think they'd live longer, but I think they'd have happier lives, because I don't think they're able to share as much as women can, because we're all on the same journey. We're moms, we're wives, we're working women. We have so much in common, and we need each other.
We do. We need each other. Absolutely. And men are different with that. When they get stressed, they go do guy activities, which is go to the golf course and do side-by-side sport type of activities.
Exactly.
And that's how, but they don't talk and don't do this thing that women do. So we're wired by God, by our Creator, to connect with our girlfriends and to be with them and talk it through and talk it out when we're stressed. And that's why now with all the new research, they're finding that, yes, we need to embrace the way we've already been designed. They just didn't realize what the ramifications were before. Now we do. So I talk about that in the book as well, that this is just embracing how we were made by God. And when we do that and we gather with our girlfriends, and like you said, we talk, and on your wonderful girlfriend trips that you have in the summer, these are wonderful ways for people to get together, to validate each other, to share with each other, and just to celebrate being friends and being female friends together. It's the most wonderful gift that we have, and we need to really take advantage of that.
I think so too. There's something in your book that really jumped out at me, because you talk about there are seasons of friendship. And I think some of us who've lost connections with people that we knew that we were very fond of, other women in our lives, and we became disconnected. And I know personally I've felt guilt about that before, but you talk about that there are seasons for certain friendships. Can you expand on that a little bit?
Absolutely. Yes, I talk in the book about our friends that come into our lives for a reason or a season, and that sometimes they come in and they're playing a really great part in our life story, but that part changes, and then the friendship may drift away, may end. And one of the things we do, it's what you just said, we start to really feel badly and guilty about the ending of that friendship. And in the book, I talk about we need to give ourselves permission to reframe that and to say to ourselves, she came into my life when I really needed a good listener, or I really needed a second set of hands to help me. And she did this wonderful thing. And I'm going to forever value her and that friendship for the part that it played in my life story. And instead of feeling bad that it's now ended and we've moved on to different places in our lives separately, just celebrate the part that that friendship had in your life. Not all friends, and I talk about this in the book too, not all friends and all friendships were created to come into our life path forever. And they're not all created equally. And I think that's hard for us sometimes to wrap our arms around, because we want to have those long connections. And yes, some friends are in our lives forever, but not necessarily every friend. And I have the same thing. I have friends that have come in, played a wonderful, vital part in my life story, and I'm forever, forever grateful for them and the part they played. And I still think about them, and I celebrate in my own way. I celebrate how they changed me or how they participated in my life story. But I may not have connection with them today, and that's okay. It doesn't take away from what we shared together.
Exactly. That your explanation of it made me feel a little bit better about it, because if it was the people that you had, you were a soccer mom together, or you had you were in scouts together, and you saw each other a lot, and you had a mutual goal, and so you're working on
right.
something. But then, you know, the children go the different ways, or you were transferred someplace else, and it becomes very difficult to maintain that friendship. So some of them are easier to hold mm-hmm. on to than others, but I thought, you know, don't feel guilty. Appreciate what it was, and if you have the opportunity to connect again, that's wonderful, but sometimes that does not happen. I wanted to ask you about something because of your specialization. I hear a lot of people talking about depression, and I think that many, many women suffer from depression and don't know what it is and don't take any action to do something about it, or they think it's something that they should be handling themselves. Can you talk a little bit about depression in women?
Absolutely. Depression in women is something that I work with frequently in my practice. And we women, unfortunately, the way that our brains operate, we are easier to become depressed than men are. And so it's easier for us to actually get into that depression cycle. And that is unfortunate, but we need to know what to do and where to go for help. One of the things that I tell women when they come in and they've been struggling with depression, if it's serious depression to where they're having trouble just getting out of bed and functioning in day-to-day life tasks, then that's something that they also need to go and talk to their doctor about, their family practice doctor, their OB-GYN doctor. They need to go talk to a medical person about getting an evaluation for, is it something they should be treated with antidepressants, at least for a little while until they're feeling better. So that's one piece. The other thing that I like to do is find out where the depression is coming from. Sometimes we get depressed when we go through life transitions. For women, if they've been a stay-at-home mom especially, and their kids are now all gone, the nest is now empty, and it's a new transition for this mom, and she's looking at her empty nest and going, where do I go from here? I've had so many women come to me for that exact thing, and they start to feel sad, and they feel depressed about it, and they feel lost. So we talk about, okay, this depression is coming out of a transitional problem, so it's what we call situational, and we need to figure out how to get this lady back into the grand scheme of life again, whether that's getting back into a professional job that she once had and hasn't been in for many years. Going back to school is what some people choose to do. That's a great one. Or doing volunteer work. There's something out there for her. So we talk about and problem solve what will make her feel better and what would give her a sense of I'm back in the game of life again. Yes, my nest is empty, but now I can redefine myself. And so I am all about women redefining themselves, and I am really big on the age and the birthday candles and all of that has no bearing on this.
No.
We are able, as long as we're breathing and as long as we're walking and talking, we are able to keep redefining ourselves, start a new career path. Don't give up. The main thing with depression is find the help you need. Don't give up. Don't stay silent with it. Don't stay silent, because there are people out there, professionals, who are going to be able to help you. And then also sometimes reaching out to a friend. That's where girlfriends are golden. Reach out to your girlfriends and share with them, I'm really struggling with this empty nest thing. I've got to talk to somebody about this. Can you help me with this? And girlfriends are great. Girlfriends have each other's backs. And so reaching out to girlfriends is another great way to help with this.
And I think we have had so many stigmas about depression being a type of mental illness. People are afraid to say the word, oh, I'm depressed, because people assume that it's something very serious and very, but it's treatable.
And absolutely.
From what you say, not even necessarily medication, sometimes therapy, obviously,
right.
So, you know, improving activities in your life, more engaging, especially with other girlfriends, right?
Right, exactly. Yes, exactly. Yes, and that is so true. There is a stigma with mental health, and depression is one of the components of where the stigma is. It's anxiety, depression, all these different things that people have as emotional, mental challenges. And there's a stigma, so people are afraid to own it. They're afraid to verbalize it to another person, and they hide it a lot of times as a result. And we are getting better in our culture, in our society, with taking some of the stigma away. We're not where we need to be yet with it. We have a long ways to go. So I always reframe it as it's a transitional problem. It comes from, there are changes in your life. Sometimes depressions come out of maybe a loss. You've lost a significant loved one, and so the depression that follows. And it's normal to grieve and go through those cycles, but we also have to get back to living, and we've got to find a way to do that. So we go through this transitional phase after that. And I've worked with lots of clients who've had all these different issues that we've been talking about just now. And one of the things I also ask them to do is to keep a gratitude journal. One of the things we're finding out with depression is if we can really focus on the things we're grateful for every day, have a gratitude journal that you write three things in every day that were great about that day, or something that happened to you that you just say, oh, that was awesome. I'm so grateful for that. Maybe it was a call you got from a girlfriend that you hadn't talked to for a long time. So write that in your gratitude journal. But getting back to gratitude is a great way to help people get out of the depression cycle.
Grabbing a hold of that positivity.
Exactly.
Because if you don't have to most of the time look very hard to find so much that is good in your life. It's very easy to look at the negative, but when you focus on the, I think that's a wonderful,
it's
a wonderful idea. Your book has some great ideas. The research is there. You can actually see this isn't just an idea. It's backed up by research. I know that you're a wonderful resource, and I know that many of our listeners would like to maybe contact you. Tell us where you can also find your book.
Absolutely. So my book is on Amazon. So if you go to Amazon and put in The Healing Power of Girlfriends and my name, Deborah Olson, it pops up there. It's in paperback version for $12.95. It's also available in Kindle, and it's also at barnesandnoble.com. So those are the ways to find my book. And I'm just so excited to share this book, especially this month of August. Since August is National Girlfriends Month, I have been doing a lot of speaking engagements this month with more to come, because it is really the focus of what August is about, which is girlfriends. And so this month, there's been a lot of increased activity, and I've been getting phone calls to do interviews and radio and television and different things, because people people are wanting to know a lot more about the book and how it can help women everywhere. My mission in life is to make a difference, to touch lives, and to promote healing, emotional and physical healing. And the way that I do that is through my practice, my clinical practice, and also through this book, which my hope is that this book will even one day be in other languages so that people in other countries can read it and benefit from it, because it really has the power to change lives and touch lives, I believe. And women are coming up to me telling me that when I go to my book events. They are coming up saying, I'm a new widow. I just read your book, and it's a powerful tool for new widows. It really gives us hope. And so please keep touring and keep talking about your book, and let's get it out there, because it's really of value to so many women who are going through so much in life. My website is galleriacounseling.com. And if you check my website, there are some links there to buy my book on Amazon. Also, I've got a book page on there and a media page and a speaking page. One of the things I'm starting to do now is doing a lot more guest speaking and keynote speaking at different events and conventions and women's organizations, women's clubs, book clubs, all kinds of things. So if you go to galleriacounseling.com, you'll be able to look at what events I'm going to be doing in the near future, also purchase my book on Amazon, and also see the blogs that I have written recently. So I've been blogging a lot about the healing power of girlfriends.
Well, we're delighted that you've written the book, because it's going to take your message out to a whole new audience. And also, people who want to contact you for therapy, to visit to one of your groups that you have, if you want to give us that contact information.
Yes. So the best way to make an appointment with me would be to go to galleriacounseling.com, to my website, and there is a link on there that says contact. And if you go to that, it has my email link, and you just press on that and it goes right into my email, and just tell me that you're looking to start some therapy and how I can best reach you. So that's the best way to find me. I'm also out there on Facebook as Deborah Olson Author on Facebook. You can follow me there and see what events I'm doing. I'm also on Instagram, and I'm also on Twitter as Author Deborah Olson. And then LinkedIn is the other media that I am involved in on LinkedIn. I do a lot of posting on there. And I want to just put it out there that in 2020, there is a plan right now that is in motion to do a get away with your girlfriends, let's go on a cruise, the end of February to the first part of March. So that is being planned right now. And if you want to stay up on that, stay in touch with me through one of the ways that we just talked about, and I'll put you on the list. We are talking about a week's cruise to the Caribbean, where it's grab your girlfriends, come and sail. We're going to go have fun and get warm in the middle of winter and do it with our girlfriends. And I'll be doing seminars and workshops that will be topics coming out of the book, and there'll be additional materials that won't be in the book. So it's going to be so much fun. We'd love to have people join us.
Well, I hope you'll take time to come back and be with us again on KAIR.
I would love to. Thank you so much. It's been a joy to be here today.
Pleasure to have you. Take care.
Thank you.
This has been Diane Blanco with East Texas Talk.